one before this episode of the F2 show starts. Completely shameless plug. If you haven't done so already, press the subscribe button. We're trying to reach 100,000 subscribers this year, so we'd be incredibly grateful for any support that you could show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Enjoy the podcast. Hello everyone and welcome to the F2 show by Inside F2. Formula 2 is back and it's back with a bang, isn't it? Joining me to reflect on a spectacular opening weekend of the season, Aaron Harper and Lawrence Griffin. And Formula 1 didn't deliver. I think Formula 1's struggling a little bit at the moment, pretty finished, isn't it? But Formula 2 is back and that provided plenty of action, Lawrence, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You can always rely on Formula 2 to deliver and for you to go into a Formula 2 race or a Formula 2 season and have absolutely no clue who's going to win. And I think we probably have no clue who's going to win the next race, even though there was one very dominant character. It doesn't really mean anything in Formula 2 with how up and down it can be. So great to have that excitement if other series aren't quite delivering it.
Absolutely. Aaron, good to see cars back on track. I mean, it was action all weekend long, wasn't it? Everywhere you look.
It was great to have F2 back on track because of just the sheer unpredictability. But also, it was really good to see the new cars on track and how well they raced. They were superb, actually, in action. The whistling of the aerodynamics, I know, was winding a few people up, but I'm sure that's a quirk we can all learn to grin and bear if the racing remains as high quality and as close as it was. I mean, Bahrain, generally a good overtaking circuit, but we still had plenty of action. And even when it wasn't an overtake, there was good battling. So it was just great all round.
Really was, wasn't it? We're going to talk about Pepe Marti and his double podium. We're going to talk about Paul Aron. We're going to talk about a few of the other rookies as well, because the rookies were absolutely brilliant this weekend. But there's only one place to start, and that is with Zane Maloney. It was a Maloney masterclass, wasn't it, Lawrence?
Yeah, absolutely. When you look through the entire weekend, I mean, the pace he had throughout, the starts he had, you know, the way he was able to move up through the order in the sprint race, and the absolute electric start he had in that feature race. You just cannot argue with a double win in Formula 2. They don't happen by accident. Only, you know, quality drivers pull off those back-to-back wins, sprint race and feature race. And wow, what a start from Zane Maloney. I don't think anyone was quite expecting, you know, him to be the one to take that double win. People have spoken so much about Martin's Behrman, and, you know, they didn't deliver it, and Maloney did. So you've got to just take your hat off to him and also to the team in terms of getting that new car set up beautifully. What an incredible performance from him.
You wait so long for a win, Aaron, and then two come along at once. It was, quite the weekend. And as you say, as Lawrence has just said, you know, I don't think anyone expected that. I think both of us, actually, Aaron, both you and I predicted he would be the first new winner of the season. I don't think either of us predicted that he would be, doing the double in Bahrain.
What made his double win all the more impressive was the fact that he didn't qualify on pole position. Obviously, we saw Ollie Behrman take both wins in Baku last year, and obviously he had pole position for the feature race. So it was super impressive all round, and he was a rookie. But for Zane to do it on a circuit where you're racing two different times of day, one race is like in the middle of the afternoon and one race is in the early evening. So the track temperatures are actually very different, and the way that the car can respond to that can vary quite widely, in fact. So the fact that he did the business in two quite different scenarios and not from pole position in either of them was superb. The fact that the sprint race, he came from eighth on the grid, I think, and then obviously the start was just supreme. He was helped a bit by Bortoleto not getting away particularly well, but, you know, at the start, you've got to make your chances count. And he was brave as well, getting down the inside. Hadjar didn't leave him that much space on the inside, and he muscled his way through and controlled the race as well. Those safety car restarts, especially that one later on when O'Sullivan had the soft tyres behind him, I thought he was toast, to be honest, but it just disappeared. When you're in the lead of a race, you just want to get away. And he did just that. It was, as you say, a Maloney masterclass.
This is the thing, though, Lawrence, isn't it? That, you know, we don't know how much pace he had in the bag left. He was out front. He was in both races. He had a bit of a gap. And you don't know whether he could have gone. I mean, yeah, from start to finish in a feature race, he was just on it, wasn't he?
Yeah, especially somewhere like Bahrain, where tyre wear is such a massive factor, and it's so easy, you know, to have that lightning start, to battle your way to the front, to build that gap. then realize you've completely blown your tires. And, you know, to survive the safety car as well and still, you know, pull out that gap and still be in such a strong position to the end of the race is incredible. And yeah, you'd be daft to just drive off into the distance and burn your tires up. So we don't know how much pace he was holding back. But what you've got to say is, from someone that, you know, hadn't won a race to someone that is controlling a race that convincingly, that bodes really well. I mean, what a complete weekend in terms of overtaking, starting fast, being aggressive when you need to, controlling the pace and looking so strong out in front. You know, that will have some people thinking, you know, those who might have thought it's a Martins Behrmann, you know, fight for the title this year, might have to add a third name in there.
Absolutely. It's great to hear the Barbados national anthem as well, wouldn't it? I want to see Zane Maloney fans. I want to see those Barbados flags in the comments. I want to see those. It's a great weekend for Barbados. I'm just interrupting the podcast because I want to talk to you about motorsporttickets.com. And I promise you, you're not going to want to miss out on this one. As the motorsport season starts, now is the best time to secure your tickets before they start to go up in price or to sell out. MotorsportTickets.com have a huge variety of different tickets, from Formula 1 race weekends, which of course include Formula 2 and Formula 3, the World Endurance Championship, MotoGP, Le Mans 24 Hours, and so many other events that are going on in the world of motorsport. Get your tickets fast now by following the link in the description to see all of their exclusive offers. Right, back to the podcast. We've seen in previous years, Aaron, that, you know, we saw with Bortoleso last year in F3, he won the first couple of rounds of the season and he had such a big gap that it took some catching, didn't it? He has a points advantage already. It's only 12 to Pepe Marti, but to everyone else, it's obviously quite a big gap, particularly to those two you've mentioned, Lawrence, Victor Martins, Ollie Behrmann, the pre-season favourites. Is he going to take some catching, Aaron?
Well, it remains to be seen. Let's sort of revisit that after, say, Australia, because we've got three rounds in about 4 weeks, which is six races in a Formula 2 calendar. So if he's got, say, a 30-point gap, 40-point gap over the likes of Martins, Behrmann, potentially some other championship hopefuls, maybe we can start looking at him as a strong early title favourite. But I think the different circuits we're going to go to in the next couple of rounds will be slightly similar in the way they're going to be set up. I think we're going to see different winners. I don't think we'll see form necessarily consistent across multiple race weekends. I can see someone having like a really big hit of points like Maloney's had, a couple of wins. But we're going to see, I think, drivers getting double podiums and just making these massive leaps forward in the championship. And then it sort of plateaus towards the end of the season. And the fight will develop a little bit later on. But it might all converge at the end of the season. You never know. And that's simply because of the new cars. Next week in Saudi Arabia, Prema might be back. ART might hit their stride. High Tech might get it and hit the nail on the head. So you're never quite sure, especially with the rules change, what's going to come next. And honestly, with Formula 2, you could say that about every season.
Mm. Absolutely. Great weekend for Rodin and their first weekend as a team, obviously from the transition from Carlin as well. So great first weekend for them. Another outstanding performer was Pepe Marti on debut. What a debut weekend, Lawrence. Two podiums. And I don't think it could have got much better for that than that for him, could it?
No, absolutely not. You know, qualifying inside the top 10 on your first race, double podiums, you know, having to fight hard for both of those and looking really racy, not at all looking out of place in Formula 2. You know, he's someone that did show his class last season in Formula 3, you know, maybe slightly overshadowed by, you know, the excitement around Kimi Antonelli or, you know, around the reigning F3 champion Gabriel Bortoleso. But, you know, he's proved that he's not to be forgotten about this season. And, you know, if he can keep performing to that level of consistency, then that bodes really well. Not often do you see rookie drivers coming in performing consistently throughout the weekend, not making any errors. You know, this is really impressive from him.
From P11 as well. I mean, it was very impressive, Aaron, wasn't it? It's a lot of overtaking, but he made those moves look really easy as well, didn't he?
He did, and he took his chances. And I was just looking before we started recording this. Obviously, he came through from P11, but and this isn't to sort of throw shade on his performance in the feature race, but half the top 10 had incidents. So it's just about as much having pace as it is keeping your nose clean. Hadjar got caught up in an incident. Fittipaldi ended up with nowhere to go. Martins had a technical fault. Crawford, a technical failure. Who else? Bortoletto had damage and a penalty. So there was drivers ahead of him who all encountered misfortune, but Pepe Martí kept his head. And for a young man, that is so important, because we saw with Bortoletto, he got a bit flustered in those early laps and took a few laps to settle himself back down. And once he did, you could see the skill and the speed come back. So keeping your cool is so vital behind the wheel, because you just see the progress that you make, especially in a field as competitive and as close as Formula 2, where you can make those moves and you can make real progress real quickly. It really pays dividends.
Formula 2 is such a chaotic, you know, series. You see some drivers who seem to get caught up in incidents all the time, even when it's not their fault. They just happen to see those incidents, and some that seem to come through unscathed from every single tricky, you know, lap one, turn one. So if he can pick up the habit of having clean races, then that will place him in really good stead.
Yeah, Campos is an interesting one, isn't it? Obviously, Isaac Hadjar on the front row, obviously after Kushmani's disqualification. But yeah, on the front row. Campos also had a really good weekend in Bahrain last season, where they won with Ralph Boshong, and then they dropped off a little bit. Can they maintain this, Lawrence? Can they continue to qualify at the front of the grid and be claiming podiums regularly?
I think it remains to be seen. I think definitely having both cars there with such good pace, you know, the result doesn't reflect how good they were this weekend, with Hadjar being taken out in the feature race by Bortoletto. But, you know, having both cars there performing consistently rather than, you know, just Ralph Boshong as you had last year is really, really encouraging. But Bahrain is always a bit of an anomaly. It's such a high degradation circuit. The car can behave differently on that track compared to lots of the others. And we see it in Formula One as well. It doesn't always necessarily follow that, you know, the form in the next race is going to be quite the same. And also, if you look at where other teams, you know, experienced teams like ART or like Prema, you know, just didn't quite look like they had the same amount of pace as a team like Campos, they're adapting to a new, you know, type of car. And those little setup tweaks, you know, they will have learned so much from this weekend. And some of those more experienced teams might well come back fighting next time out. And we can see a totally different set of results with the track being so different, as every track is so different to Bahrain. So there's no reason they can't continue to perform consistently. But, you know, what I would say is if they're able to be that strong next time out, then you're really looking at a team that are going to be in the title fight. But like Aaron said earlier, one round of being dominant isn't always enough to prove that you're going to have a good season.
Absolutely. Okay, moving on then to my favourite Aaron in Formula 2. It's not Aaron Harper, it's Paul Aaron. He had a great first weekend, didn't he? One minute he was in the gravel in the feature race, the next minute he was in P3. He just kind of appeared from nowhere, didn't he, Aaron?
Hey, he did a great job. I mean, he's a former Mercedes junior driver, and Mercedes don't pick anyone to be one of their junior drivers. You've got to have something going for you. Obviously, they've only got Kimi Antonelli at the moment, and there's a lot of talk around just how good he is. But Paul Aron is no slouch, and he showed that this weekend. I thought he had a really tidy sprint race on his way to a few points, and then the feature race was just superb. He got through on the right strategy towards the end, the safety car obviously playing well to his tyre strategy. I think he ran long on softs and then went to hards. And because they were in the heat of the afternoon, hards towards the end were the golden ticket. You had the pace against everyone else whose tyres were just jelly by that point, to be honest. And, you know, like with Pepe Martí, kept his nose clean, kept it all together. Okay, he was in the gravel. I think that was on the opening lap. And just, yeah, made the most of his opportunities. And in Formula 2, you've got to take your opportunities to score big when you can. And this will do his confidence the world of good. It's a great start for him, not only in the series, but with his new team.
I tell you what I thought was incredible from some of the rookies, Pepe Martí, Paul Aron, and a few other the rookies as well, is in a sprint race, the first race of the season, where veterans or returning drivers like Victor Martins, like Enzo Fittipaldi, like Isaac Hadjar, cooked their tyres and their tyres were absolutely done. The less experienced, Pepe Marti, Paul Aron and a few other rookies, like I mentioned, were the ones who actually had tyres left at the end, which I thought was incredible. As returning drivers, surely they should have more experience of how to work that Pirelli rubber, right, Lawrence?
Yeah, exactly. It just shows you the talent of the rookies that we have this year that we're able to do that. Also shows that it's not the easiest thing to do, even if you do have experience, depending on where you find yourself in the field, you're battling over positions, very easy to cook those tires. And just like we've spoken about Marti, Aron just having that knack of being in the right place at the right time on the right tire, managing the tire well, staying out of trouble, but equally climbing up the order, going from after qualifying in 12th to finish, to have a fifth in the sprint and the podium and the feature race, what an incredible result. So if you can just keep having that level of consistency, managing the tires well, that is going to really pay off for him throughout the season.
We're going to come back to talking about the rookies in a minute. I wanted to rewind all the way back to Thursday, it was, when qualifying took place. And it was a great initial qualifying session, start to the season for Jeff Miney, Kush Miney, whatever you want to call him. It was an Invicta 1-2, and the car looked quick over one lap. Obviously, he got disqualified for a floor issue. Aron, talk to me about Kush Miney's qualifying, and it was a shame that he got sent to the back of the grid, but from Invicta's perspective, they'll be really happy with the one lap pace, weren't they? Both drivers on the front row.
Well, Jack Doohan will be wondering where this car was last year for him. He was tipped to win the championship and the car didn't want a car in the first few rounds of the season. So he'll be gutted that he's not in that seat this year. But Kush and Gabriel did a brilliant job in qualifying. Miney's first effort was excellent, and then his second one was even better. But we should also preface this with, he's a bit of a Bahrain specialist. He did really well last year in Bahrain for Campos. Obviously, Campos had another strong weekend this year in Bahrain. So maybe Campos and Kush Miney tend to like Bahrain, and the layout just seems to work for them and the driver and the cars and the teams. Obviously, Kush with Invicta now, but I thought also his racecraft in the feature race was really good. He could have tried to make all that ground back up at the start and been really feisty, but he let the race come to him and was really patient with it and scored a few points. Not as many as he would have hoped come Thursday afternoon once he put it on pole, but it's a good recovery. And I think that shows the tutelage under Mika Häkkinen is starting to work.
What could have been for Invicta this weekend, with the pace that they had? You saw it in the feature race as they flew through the field in formation at the end, making up places. This is a weekend where you could say arguably they looked like the fastest team out there. To not even get a podium out of it, it is going to be really disappointing, as encouraging as it is, because like we've said before, it's no guarantee they're going to be on the pace next time round. So, what if we were to look back at this at the end of the season and realise that it was a real missed opportunity for Invicta? So I think there'll be some mixed feelings in that team going into next weekend.
But it also shows just how competitive the series is, that the fastest team on Thursday, locking out the front row until the disqualification, walks away without a podium.
Yeah.
So it's just so close, isn't it? It's fantastic. As a viewer, as a punter, it's just great to watch. Everything is so close. You're never quite sure what's coming next, who's going to win, who's going to be on pole. It's just thrilling.
It is thrilling, and what makes it even more thrilling is the title favourites were nowhere this weekend, right? Which blows everything wide open, doesn't it? What on earth happened to Prema this weekend? Let's start with them. It just seems like they just couldn't get the balance right, Aron, didn't it?
It was a really weird weekend for Prema, but while I was writing some of my articles over the weekend for the website, I did have a look at Prema's recent history in Bahrain.
Yeah.
In 2023, no points. Yep. 2022... they had a P2 with Jehan Daravala in the sprint race, but everything else was outside the points. The feature race was, don't even bother remembering it. Okay, in 2021, Oscar Piastri did win one of the sprint races. But in the feature race, again, they got minor points and Piastri was last. I don't think he finished. He was classified, though. So they're not particularly good around Bahrain or Prema. And then Bahrain, as Alex Brundle told us on the preview show, is, you know, it's a little bit of an outlier of a circuit. So it can be very different from Bahrain to Jeddah, because the track surface, it's much smoother in Jeddah. So you might see all of a sudden Prema, ART are just back at the front, setting the pace. And then we get to see exactly how good Kimi Antonelli is, and Ollie Bearman can launch his title fight. That said, Antonelli did a great job to come through the field and pick up a point in the feature race. So credit where credit's due. Ollie Bearman didn't have a very good weekend, sadly. Car issues. The car went into fail mode, like safe mode at the start of the sprint, and then he had to be restarted in the pit lane for the feature race. Damage. If it could go wrong, it did go wrong for Ollie Bearman, but actually, you'd rather have that weekend first, and it stands you in good stead. It's good for your character building. You'd rather not have that weekend, like the penultimate round of the year, when you're still fighting for the championship, because then you'd be really squeaky bum time then.
You took the words out of my mouth in that Prema 0 points scored on the opening round of last season, and Ollie Bearman 14th and 15th in Bahrain. And then he came back to qualify P2 in Jeddah. So, you know, it's not necessarily that the Prema is going to be an awful car all year long. It could just be a Bahrain-specific thing. Obviously, Prema, not the only ones to have a bit of a torrid weekend. Victor Martins, another title favourite, also had a bit of a torrid weekend. He wasn't on the pace all weekend long, really, was he? Outqualified by Zach O'Sullivan, outperformed in both races by Zach O'Sullivan, cooked his tyres in the sprint race, could only make his hard tyres work for 10 laps in the feature race where he had to come in and box. And then he had a mechanical failure. I mean, it wasn't quite his weekend either, was it, Lawrence?
No, and even before that mechanical failure, he just didn't look like he had any pace. No. You know, it was really bizarre, and we're not used to seeing that from him. You know, he's usually so consistently quick, and, you know, we were all expecting him to start his title charge, but he fundamentally looked like he wasn't getting on with the car, which I think, you know, we might all accept quite readily, knowing, you know, that, like Aaron just said, Bahrain is such an outlier. But the fact that his rookie teammate was able to outperform and look so much more comfortable with the balance and the setup of the car, you know, I think that will be quite a difficult one for Martins. You know, he's experienced, he'll know where his strengths lie and he'll pick himself up and go on to the next race. But, you know, you've got to be looking over your shoulder at your young teammate going, hang on, I'm meant to be the team leader here and he's showing me up. So I think, you know, that will be an interesting, you know, inter-team battle to follow throughout the season, because ART should, and I'm sure will, be delivering a fast car, you know, on most weekends, you know, throughout the season. So those two, I think we will see fighting for race wins at some point this year.
Do you reckon it was just because it looked like an Alpine that he was so slow?
I was going to say the same thing. It's the Alpine livery. Either that or we saw the pace of the Alpine in Formula One and thought, not winning the title this year. I'll stay another year in F2 and I'll join in 26.
And it needed to shave that blue paint off, Alpine style.
Yeah, get it gone. Exactly. Okay, let's move on to our new feature for this season, Rookie Watch. So we've already spoken about Pepe Marti and Paul Aron. Let's talk about our pole sitter, Gabriel Bortoleto. Yeah, really solid debut weekend for him, Aaron. It was a bit all over the place, wasn't it? He obviously had a poor start in the feature race, made a bit of contact, but the pace was there, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had some good moments. Obviously, the start of the feature race wasn't one of them, and nor was turn one of the feature race. But like I said earlier, he recovered his composure. He showed some pace. His sprint race was decent as well. Points in both races. That's a decent start. Obviously, took the pole position. I think if he'd got into the lead at turn one, I think we might have seen exactly how quick the Invicta car was in race trim. But like Lawrence said, the pair of Invicta cars came through towards the end. So the speed was still there for Gabriel. And it was just, I think, down to that turn one and that start that kind of undid his race. And obviously that's obvious to say, but, you know, it's so important to make a good start. And especially when you're on pole position, you don't want to surrender that advantage.
It unraveled so quickly for him, didn't he? You know, he had massive wheel spin away from the line. Maloney flies past him, and you just wonder if, you know, you get into the heat of the battle, just make that slightest, tiniest of miscalculation. If you're trying to make up for the fact that you were slow off the line, then all of a sudden, you know, that is your hopes of a win gone. You know, if he'd been maybe slightly more conservative in turn one, you know, who knows? He probably would have had the pace to come back through the field and have a proper go at Maloney at the end. You know, so that is one that he will, I think, kick himself for, you know, later. Obviously, if he wins next week, you know, then he'll forget all about it. But, you know, I think it'll be really a case of what could have been, you know, all round for the team. You know, if they didn't have a disqualification, if they didn't have that incident, I think a real shame for them to have missed out on so many points.
Definitely. I'm sure the Brazilian fans will be following him all season long, and we'll be talking about him all season long on the F2 show as well. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Zach O'Sullivan, we've just spoken about it, out-qualified and out-raced. He's more experienced teammate and probably title favourite. Victor Martins, Lawrence, good start from him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like we said, really good start from him, looking very solid, and yeah, definitely excited to see what he can go on and achieve in the rest of the season, because ART are, you know, known for producing good cars, and last season at least, you know, there is no second seat curse anymore. That seems to have been quite firmly lifted, and you know, so he should be, you know, up there and challenging Victor Martins for the rest of the season, we hope.
Indeed. We've also got Miata as well, Aaron. A bit of an eventful weekend for him as well, wasn't it? But the pace seems to be there. P6 in qualifying and pace shown in the races as well.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid enough debut in Europe. Like I say, European, they were in the Middle East, but outside of Japan, single-seaters. I think he's done some endurance racing, possibly in Europe as well. But yeah, a decent start for him. He didn't set the world alight. Obviously, his teammate went on to win both races, but I suppose that's a platform for him to sort of build from and aspire to as well, with trying to chase down Zane Maloney within the team as well. So a decent weekend for Return Amietta.
Now, I'm not sure if you were aware, but apparently Andrea Kimi Antonelli was making his debut in F2 this weekend. I'm not sure if you saw any interviews. No, exactly. It was a solid weekend. Obviously, the car was, maybe not didn't enable him to compete as much as he would have liked to. But it was a good first weekend for him, wasn't it? He obviously outperformed Ollie Bearman all weekend long. That move around the outside of Ollie Bearman as well in the feature race, that was a bit of a statement, wasn't it, Lawrence?
Yeah, it absolutely was, because, you know, you've got a young gun coming into a team where the team leader, as it were, is meant to be going for the title, and, you know, Kimi Antonelli just said, I'm having none of that. I'm going to send it right around the outside. Really, really aggressive, really strong. With Bearman, who is one of the more aggressive drivers, one of the best at wheel-wheel battle, you know, in the series. So the fact that he's put the moves on him and just generally looked slightly more comfortable with the car and looked like he had slightly better pace than his teammate, you know, that is really, really impressive. And, you know, I think there might be some people thinking, you know, Kimi Antonelli's been so hyped up because of the incredible career he's had so far. And, you know, where's the result gone in the first race? Well, just look at how much his teammate has struggled in that car. You know, we've spoken about Bahrain potentially not being the strongest track for Bremer. So, you know, for those who are, you know, Kimi Antonelli fans, no need to despair just yet. And there's a lot of positives to take away from what is, you know, we can't forget that's still his first race in Formula 2, you know, and he's jumped a step to get up there. So, you know, we could forgive him for being slightly slow off the mark. As it is, he beat his teammate this weekend. So, you know, a lot to look forward to with him.
And how important could that single point be? We saw in 2007 in Formula 1, it was decided by an 8th place finish, which gave 1 point at the time. So 10th and a point could be vital in a championship that could be hyper competitive and super close come the checkered flag in Abu Dhabi.
It's round one and Aaron is already counting the individual points. It's tense already. You can leave no margin in Formula 2.
I'm just that meme where you've got like all the string and the Venn diagrams and all the things on the pinboard.
Our very own F1 historian, Aaron Harper. I think we established Kimi Antonelli was one in 2007. Yeah, 1 year old. So, absolutely crazy how young he is. Aaron, a quick word. We've got Franco Colapinto. Villa Gomez made his debut this weekend. The PHN boys, Josh Dirksen and Taylor Barnard. Who stood out for you the most out of those four rookies?
I think Franco Colapinto did a really solid job. Picked up some points in the feature race. He'll want to build from that. He admitted he made a mistake, but there was a mistake slash error in qualifying with the DRS. So there's a bit more to come from him. But I was super impressed as well by Taylor Barnard getting the PHM into the top 10. And until Kushmani's penalty, he was going to start the sprint race from pole position. So who knows what he might have achieved from there. Obviously, he still started on the front row.
Yeah, he retired, and I think he had a technical failure in the sprint race, didn't he? And yes. then in the feature had a slow stop as well, which pretty much ruled him out of contention. So a really, really unfortunate weekend from him, because he was looking so impressive. You know, I don't think anyone was quite expecting him to pull that qualifying lap out of the bag, but he did. So more to come from him for sure.
Yeah, great lap by him. And I think Josh Dirksen stalling on the grid is, I think we agreed, didn't we, Aaron? It's solely my fault, because every PHM driver that I seem to speak to, we spoke to Brad Benavides, he lost his seat. We then spoke to Josh Mason, he stalled on the grid in Belgium. And then obviously I spoke to Josh Dirksen and he stalled on the grid in Bahrain. So Taylor Barnard, don't speak to me, Taylor Barnard. I don't want to jinx your season. So,
You spoke to Jack Crawford last week as well, and he didn't leave the pit lane.
So we're really, really encouraging F2 drivers to come on the podcast, aren't we? Okay, let's move it on then quickly before we wrap up, guys. Aaron, I'll come to you first. Your driver of the weekend, if we can.
It's very easy. Zane Maloney. He was just superb. It was first class from the boy from Barbados.
Cool. And Lawrence, your driver of the weekend?
So I've actually gone slightly different. No, it has to be Zane Maloney. It can't be anyone else. You know, we couldn't do him the disrespect of giving him anything other than you know, top driver this weekend after performing so well. You know, he's looked strong at periods, but you know, could this be the year that he makes a proper bid for the title? I really do hope so. The more drivers that we have in that title fight, the better. And not only has he got some rivals that we expect to be there, you know, Martins and Behrmann, who will surely challenge him, but a whole, you know, raft of rookies coming up as well, who will just complicate that title fight and steal points away from him as well. So, you know, what a wonderful weekend from him, and glad to see him sort of stamp his authority on F2 in 2024.
So exciting, so much to look forward to, isn't there? Let's take a look at the championship standings before we go then. So obviously Zane Maloney, who leads the championship at the end of round one after a magnificent double. A double podium for Pepe Marti as well means he's the highest placed rookie in P2. Paul Aron leads the weekend P3. Strong debut weekend for Gabriel Bortoleto and Zacco Sullivan. They sit fourth and fifth. Bortoleto's teammate, Kushmani, will be confident he can fight for points in Jeddah. He's 8th. And Dennis Hauger and Isaac Hadjar round out the top 10. And the team standings. Rodin lead the way from fast-starting Campos and Invicta. Hi-Tech, ART and MP separated by just 5 points in 4th, 5th and 6th. Disappointing weekend for Prema. They'll be hoping for more as the season progresses. They're in 8th. Trident, PHM and VAR all yet to get off the board. There we have it then. Formula 2 for 2024 is up and running. One round down, 13 to go. So much excitement still to come. And we do get to do it all again next week in Jeddah. If you've enjoyed the show, as always, make sure you give it a like. As we said earlier on in the podcast, subscribe for more Formula 2 content. We're going to be here all season long. Make sure you get involved in the conversation as well, giving your thoughts and opinions on social media or on our Discord page. But from me, Fraser Ford, and all of us here at Inside F2, we'll see you next time.